You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Now, yesterday was an absolute buzzkill for Mets fans. I'm sure a lot of you wake up to the exciting news that Lindor has been signed to this extension. You're fired up to watch him run out in the field as the $341 million man playing against the Nationals on opening day. And then we get the news later in the morning that the game has been postponed. And at this point right now, as I'm recording at 7 o'clock on Thursday night, we have no idea when the Mets will play again. Right now, the most optimistic outlook is for them to play on Saturday and maybe play a doubleheader on Sunday. Otherwise, the entire series against the Nationals could get postponed and the Mets could be opening their season against the Phillies on Monday. So what we're going to do on today's show, in the first segment, I want to play some audio from Francisco Lindor's press conference after they have announced this signing. Then in the second and third segments, we're going to cap off our preseason power rankings. So in the second segment, I'm going to kind of go rapid fire through the backstops, the benches, and the bullpens in the National League East. And then in the final segment, we will put a bow on the entire series, going through all the rankings we've done so far, putting together a composite score, and then giving you our final power rankings of the NL East entering this season. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can follow the show at Locked On Mets. And there this week, we've been doing a giveaway for a signed photo of Luis Guillorme. And we now have a winner, and that is Brian Coppola. That is a Brian spelled with an E, I believe. I apologize if I mispronounced your first name, but I'll send you a DM and get you that signed photo of Luis Guillorme. Now let's talk about Francisco Lindor. Lindor was very humble and was so excited talking to the media for the first time after signing this deal. And I always think that we kind of lose sight of some of the human aspects of a deal like this getting done, because it's all about the numbers and the player and what are they worth, what aren't they worth, are they going to live up to the contract. Let's talk about a guy who devoted his life to playing the game of baseball, had nothing promised to him, makes his way through school, gets drafted, goes through the process, goes through the minor leagues, makes it to the big leagues, plays out in a small market, you know, his rookie deal where he doesn't get paid a ton of money until he hits arbitration, bets on himself the whole way through, doesn't sign one of those team-friendly extensions that the Indians tried to lock him up to, and it pays off, and he gets this monster contract. He deserves every penny. I'm going to play some clips here. The first one is basically Lindor answering a question about what made him choose the Mets to sign this type of a deal.
You know, you spoke right when you came over about wanting to get a feel for the organization before committing to anything. Obviously, the money is one thing, a very important element, but what else was it about this organization, what you've experienced over the last couple of months, that made you feel fully comfortable to commit to this team for perhaps the remainder of your career?
First of all, the group of guys and girls that we have in the clubhouse on a daily basis, that they're committed to winning. They want to win. They're hungry. They want to improve. They want to get better every single day. And that, to me, says a lot, that we are in a position that, yes, we have a good team, but they want to get better. They want to continue to improve, to bring that championship, and not just one, to continue and carry on and continue to win more and more. That, to me, that's what I look in a franchise. I look in a franchise that wants to win, wants to get better, and have a lot of guys and girls that are class act, you know, and that starts from the top, you know, and I was happy. I felt comfortable. I know I haven't been to New York, but the guys, the boys, they made me feel comfortable around them. They made me a part of what they have in the clubhouse. And I love that. I love that. I love the opportunity that I have to bring a championship to the city of Queens. So I'm very excited. And the most beautiful thing about it, it's that everyone wants to do it. And we all right next to each other, and we all striving forward.
Now, I really do think, just listening to him talk, I mean, this is the type of leader that can take the Mets to the next level. And so to hear him talk about the team and how much he appreciates all the guys in the clubhouse and everyone he's working with right now, it really makes you think that this team has turned a corner and moved into a new era of Mets baseball. In this next clip I have here, Lindor expresses excitement for signing with the Mets long term.
A dream come true. A humble experience. I wanted to yell. I wanted to scream as loud as I could. But I was in a hotel room, stuck in the hotel room, so I couldn't scream. And the way my agent, David Mita, and Sandy Anderson negotiated, it was outstanding. So thank you, Sandy, for the way you represented the organization. It was fun.
That last part really cracks me up because I think it has to be a lot of fun to sign on the dotted line for $341 million. I think that's got to be a blast. But this final quote I have here from Francisco Lindor, I think is the one that is maybe the most telling, the most insightful, the one that really kind of gets down to who this guy is and what it means to have him in the blue and orange for the next decade.
David, a lot of pride, a lot of pride. I'm very proud of my game. And this right here, this logo right here means a lot. And I got to go out there every single day and defend it and play as hard as I can for this, for what I have in my chest. That's what it means. That number next to me, that's what it means. Those are $341 million, million reasons for me to go out there and play the game the right way.
Francisco Lindor is the role model that your kids should want to watch to model their games after. It is great to have these types of pillars in the Mets organization. I've talked about it in the past, but being able to watch David Wright during my formative years of playing travel baseball, and it just was one of those things where I wore the number 5 on my back with pride because of my favorite player who I got to watch every day. And I feel like there's a lot of people they're going to have that same type of relationship, or a lot of kids, I should say, who are going to get to watch Lindor play for the Mets for years to come. And to hear him put the team first, talk about play the game the right way, these are all things that, you know, kids should strive for. And it's just something that is really special to have. And it's great that the Mets were able to get this done and keep this guy for the long haul. I think he's going to do nothing but represent this organization very well. So all that sound courtesy of SNY and the Mets. You can find the full press conference on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook. So you can listen to the entire thing as Lindor talks about what it means to have signed this deal with the Mets and addresses the media about it for the first time. Now, we're going to talk a lot about Lindor throughout the season, but in just a minute, I want to switch gears and get to our power rankings in the National League East. We'll talk benches, bullpens, and backstops in just a minute. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football's been over, but we have the NBA, the rest of college basketball, and the NHL in full swing, and even now, Major League Baseball. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. With real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine, BetOnline has you covered for all the new scores and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Hosted by Peter Bukowski, Locked On Today is a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes by subscribing to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so far leading up to the season, I have ranked infields, outfields, and starting rotations. And the way I do these preseason rankings is I do it on a point scale where the first place team gets 5 points, second place 4 points, third place 3 points, fourth place 2 points, and the last place team gets 1 point. We go through each of these rankings, and by the end, I'll put together a composite score, and that tells me where I should be ranking these teams in the National League East. This year, I made backstops a separate category, but because that is not as important as grading three positions in the outfield or four in the infield, what I did is I did backstops with the starter and the backup, and I cut the point scale in half. So 2.5 points for first, and you know, 2 for second, 1.5 for third, so on and so forth. And I did the exact same thing when it came to the benches. Finally, the bullpen, same 5-point scale. So let's just go through these kind of rapid fire. I didn't spend as much time on the stats for this one, but basically, I think that these groups are pretty self-explanatory. So we'll start with the catchers again. You got JT Realmuto and Andrew Knapp for the Phillies. That's the best backstop in this division. I have the Braves and the Mets tied for the second best. Travis d'Arnaud is coming off an unbelievable season. Probably should be ranked higher than James McCann just based off of 2020. But how much stock do we put into 2020? McCann had a great year as well. So I have the two of them about average. I don't think there's that much of a difference. We look at the backups. Tomas Nito, I believe, can be very solid. Alex Jackson is someone who made the roster for the Braves. I don't think that there is a ton of a track record there. But overall, I think they're about, you know, the same. So we got those two teams coming in at 2 points. We have JT Realmuto and Andrew Knapp getting the 2.5 points. And then the Nationals and the Marlins just don't have good catchers. So they split the remaining point that was left. Yan Gomes and Alex Avila starting the year with Washington. That is a very old backstop. And after what we watched last year with Wilson Ramos, probably not a good sign. You go to the Marlins, Jorge Alfaro, supposed to be a pretty nice catcher for them. Got him in the JT Realmuto trade, but he has not quite performed. And Chad Wallach is a guy I most know for his dad being on the staff when Wallach was a rookie. I'm not sure if Chad Wallach's dad is still on the staff, but I always just think of nepotism when I see Chad Wallach. Probably not being fair to a guy who's been on a big league roster for, I think, 3 seasons now, but he doesn't really do much that moves the needle. Then we move on to the benches. And I got these in reverse order here. So I'm starting with the Braves. They have Ehire Adarianza. I've never heard of this player before, despite the fact that he has an 8-year big league career. That tells you something. Not much to talk about with him. Ender Inciarte will be backing up Christian Pache in center. Probably the best bench piece they have. A guy that has had some success offensively. Great defensive fourth outfielder for them. But outside of that, you look at Pablo Sandoval to round out their bench along with their backup catcher. And I was shocked that Sandoval was on the Braves, hit a home run on opening day. Hats off to the Panda for that. But, I mean, that's not a good bench. They're the worst bench in the division, in my opinion. You go to the Nationals, Ryan Zimmerman, the only name that really makes some waves here. Hernan Perez, Jordy Mercer, kind of, you know, journeyman veterans. Rounding out the bench along with Andrew Stevenson. Just not a lot there, so I have them ranked fourth. Then you go to the Phillies. Brad Miller has had a lot of success there recently, so I think that's a nice piece. Ronald Torres, former Yankee, rejoins Joe Girardi. Roman Quinn, ton of speed, not much else, but hey, that could be fine for your fourth outfielder. And Matt Joyce, a guy that has a little bit of pop. Not the best bench piece, not the best bench overall, but that's why they're ranked third. Then we get to the second best bench in this division, and that does not belong to the Mets. The Mets have the best bench. I actually like the Marlins bench better than any other in this division outside of the Mets. Garrett Cooper is a very good hitter. He's going to split time with Jesus Aguilar. So either way, you have a very powerful bat to go to. John Birdie honestly could be maybe the top bench piece in this division. I don't know. Birdie just gives me headaches thinking about what he's done to the Mets. A guy that can play second, can play short, can play all over the diamond, play out in center field. You know, brings a lot of speed to the table. Just a really nice piece to have on your bench. And then you have Magnarius Sierra and Lewis Brinson. A lot of athleticism out in the outfield. Not a lot of bat. But hey, you look at what they have and you compare it to these other teams. And the Marlins have a pretty solid group. Finally, we look at the Mets. Luis Guillorme, who I believe should be a starter. But for now, I think he's going to be coming off the bench behind J.D. Davis. Kevin Pillar, Albert Amora Jr., and Jonathan Villar. Head and shoulders, the best bench in this division. So the Mets get 2.5 points. And from there, the Marlins got 2. Phillies got 1.5. Nationals got 1. And the Braves got 0.5 point. With all that being said, we go to the bullpens. And it's so hard to judge these things. I just went with which team has more names that I can trust. The Braves, I think, had the best bullpen on paper right now. Luke Jackson, AJ Minter, Tyler Matzek, Will Smith, Chris Martin, amongst others. They got a lot of arms. So the Braves are number one. I got the Nationals and the Mets tied behind them. Honestly, the Mets could, you know, you can make the argument the Mets might have the best bullpen in this division if everything breaks right. I just haven't seen everything break right in a Mets bullpen in a very long time. You go to the Nationals, they have 3 arms that I like. Daniel Hudson, Will Harris, and Brad Hand. So I could see the Nationals having a pretty good lockdown back end of that bullpen. And that's why I have them even with the Mets right now. Although, again, I really do believe the Mets probably have more depth and overall can put together a better bullpen throughout the season. I just have to see it first. From there, you look at the Phillies. I had them ranked 4th. Hector Neris, Archie Bradley, Jose Alvarado, Brandon Kinsler. Some veterans that can get outs. I just like that a little bit better than the Marlins, where there's really not a big veteran presence of guys you trust. Anthony Bass, Yimi Garcia, Dylan Floro, and Ross Detweiler, just some of the names to mention. But overall, I think the Marlins are last in this category as well, as they've been in a lot of these rankings. The Marlins are better than they've been, but overall, I still think they're the worst team in this division. With all that being said, in the next segment, going to give you all the rankings again, where I have these teams, and ultimately put it all together and tell you which team should be the favorite heading into the 2021 season. Now, I gotta say, though, during March, these tournaments happen, and sometimes they leave you heartbroken. And it has been Built Bar Madness, and I saw a couple of my favorites make it to the Final Four. Mint Brownie, Cookies and Cream, and both of them were defeated. I'm devastated. I mean, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. You know, Built Bars come low in calorie, low in sugar. They're high in protein. They're high in fiber. They all taste amazing as they come covered in 100% chocolate. But some flavors stand out. They're different on your specific palate. And for me, Mint Brownie and Cookies and Cream are my two favorites. And to see them get so close to that championship matchup and fall short, it's unfortunate, but the championship matchup, Cookie Dough Chunk versus Coconut Brownie Chunk. Vote if you please. I won't be voting. Like I said, I'm still too devastated, but you can go to BuiltBar.com or to Bar_Built if you want to vote on your favorites. Remember to use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Check back. See who is the best tasting protein bar. Unfortunately, though, it won't be Cookies and Cream, which should have won this tournament. All right, so let's go through here the final rankings we have. We'll go position group by position group, right? The Mets I had as having the best infield. The Braves had the best outfield. The Mets had the best rotation. The Braves had the best bullpen. The Mets had the best bench. They were tied, I believe, for the second best backstop. So clearly, there's two teams that stand above the rest in this division. And that's what I love about this exercise that I've been doing for the last couple of years, is it really kind of, you know, puts everything into perspective. And so I have been saying the whole time that it's Mets, Braves, Nationals, Phillies, and the Marlins could maybe threaten that second tier, but they might still be a step below. And this point scale that I do came out to exactly that. So again, first place teams get 5 points. Second place teams in these groups get 4 points. Third place, 3 points. Fourth place, 2 points. Last place, 1 point. We put it all together, and so here is where things stand. The Marlins came in last. They had the worst infield, outfield, backstop, and bullpen. You put all that together, that's only 3.5 points. They were fourth in rotation. I had them ahead of the Phillies because the Phillies don't have much behind Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler. So they got 2 points for the rotation. They're the second best bench behind the Mets. They get 2 points for that. You put it all together, I had the Marlins finishing with 7.5 points on this scale. You go to the Phillies. They had the fourth best infield, or the second worst. They had the third best outfield, the worst rotation, fourth best bullpen, third best bench, and the one place where they shine above the rest, same thing as the rankings last year, is the backstop of JT Realmuto. You add all those points together, and it comes out to 12 for the Phillies. The Nationals, very close with the Phillies. Had them third in outfield, fourth in infield, third in rotation, tied for the second best bullpen, fourth with their bench, and tied for last on their backstop with the Marlins. You put it all together, 3 points for the outfield, 2 for the infield, 3 for the rotation, 3.5 for the bullpen, 1 for the bench, and 0.5 point for the backstop, and the Nationals come out to have 13 points. So those are your bottom three teams. Now let's get to the interesting conversation, Braves versus Mets. Braves had, again, best bullpen, best outfield, second best rotation, second best infield, tied with the second best backstop with the Mets, and the worst bench. You got 5 points for the bullpen, 5 points for the outfield, 4 for the rotation, 4 for the infield, 2 for the backstop, and 0.5 point for their bench. Comes out to 20.5 points for the Braves. The Mets have the best infield rotation. Their bench was the best as well. Second best outfield, tied for the second best backstop, second best bullpen. You get 5 for the infield, 5 for the rotation, 2.5 for the bench, 4 for the outfield, 2 for the backstop, 3.5 for the bullpen. That comes out to 22 points. So based on this ranking system, the Mets should be the favorites heading into this season. But I think the more important thing is there is really three tiers of teams here. You have the Mets and the Braves, as I predicted, Nationals, Phillies, with the Marlins coming in dead last. But really, again, I think the most interesting aspect here is looking at the Mets and the Braves. Because when you compartmentalize each of these facets of the game, you can see where each team has a little bit of an edge. And for the Mets, it's the bench and it's the overall depth that suddenly has them a little bit better than the Braves heading into this season, because they really do have a lot more options to go to. If you're looking at the Braves, they're counting on some combination of a journeyman or two journeymen to back up their infield. Maybe Johan Camargo figures it out, but he didn't even make the opening day roster. I mean, if they have some injuries, they're in trouble. If the Mets lose J.D. Davis, they have Luis Guillorme, they have Jonathan Villar to step in. If they lose one of their outfielders, Kevin Pillar has been a starter in this league for a very long time. So that bench is really an interesting separating factor that maybe I didn't even put enough stock into prior to this season. And honestly, I was knocking a lot of the signings. I was knocking the signing for Pillar, for Almora, for Villar, because I thought there was better options out there. But you look at this division, I mean, these are the best bench players in this division. The Mets did a great job addressing that at the end of the offseason. And so I think the Braves have a better defense. And, You know, that gets factored in when we talked about the outfield, that the Mets had the best offensive outfield in this division, but the Braves defense put them ahead. You look at the infield, and maybe you can say that, you know, the Braves potentially have a little bit better of an infield defense, but I think, you know, with Lindor and McNeil up the middle, with the potential for Guillorme to get a lot of playing time this year, I just didn't think that was enough of a separating factor. And again, you grade it all out, you look at everything, you put it all together, and the Mets should be favorites this year. There's no excuses other than just to say that, hey, it's been the Braves division. But if you look at these rosters on paper, if you look at the depth that's been added that can be called on throughout the season, the Mets don't have that excuse anymore. They have the guys like Jordan Yamamoto waiting in the wings if they need them. You know, they have all the injured players coming back. I mean, this Mets team is loaded. And I think that really is something I've maybe shied away from. You don't want to be the guy all out in front saying the Mets should win this division. There's no excuses. And then just have egg on your face halfway through the year. But I'm looking at this team. I'm looking at these rankings. And I'm sorry, this should be the Mets division to lose. So I'm coming out in front and I'm saying it now. When the season has begun, but not yet for the Mets, I am really interested to see how all this plays out. But sitting here on April 1st, I think the Mets are the best team in the National League East. We'll just see what happens once the games start to get played and how it all really comes together for each of these teams. But it's going to be a great division to watch. I am very excited. Hopefully COVID protocols come to a close soon enough that we can get some action, maybe this weekend, if not on Monday. Anyway, as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. And if you're the type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, we have the podcast for you, and that is Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aram Layton. This is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. So follow Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.